Donna, I don't know if there's a CD back there or not. You got one ready going? Praise the Lord. You got your Bibles with you tonight. Please turn to Colossians 1:13. I'm going to teach on something that it's not going to make you jump and shout, but it's going to make you understand some things. Most of you probably already do, but it's a good review if you already know these things. You're fired. Amen. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. Are you out there tonight? Don't make it hard on me tonight. At least say, you know, let me know. Once in a while, groan or moan or say something, okay? When the crowds aren't as big as they normally are, it kind of gets, people get quiet and I don't know. Smile. Everybody smile at me. Give me a big smile. Amen. Frown at me then if you don't want to smile. Hallelujah. How many believes God loves us? How many believes that His great love is all-encompassing and that it transcends the capacity of human logic and that He saved us, according to the Bible, we've been born again? How many's born again tonight? Raise your hands. Rest of you, I'm not sure about, but we'll have an altar call. You got to cooperate with me tonight or this is going to be painful. He has saved us with His great love, and we have been born again, and He has called us out of the world and placed us supernaturally into His family. Listen to this scripture in Colossians 1:13. It says, "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness." Who's the power of darkness? Two of you know it. Who's the power of darkness? The domain of darkness is under the rulership of Satan. And had translated us. I mean, remember that show, Beam Me Up, Scotty. He was transported. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God, through His great love, through Jesus Christ, has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, what I want to talk about is this, is having done that, God has some expectations of us. He's called us out of the world, and He's placed us supernaturally into His family. And He's done that because of His great love for us. His desire for us is that we not only that not only our spirits be born again, but that our souls and our bodies be given wholly to God. Now that's wholly. Okay? That means He wants you to give everything of yourself to Him. Your whole makeup. God wants not just your spirit, because that's what happened in the born-again experience, is you got a brand new spirit. It is a spirit that is holy because God created it holy, and He made it habitable for Himself. In other words, in man's fallen state, your spirit was not habitable for God. But God, through the spirit of regeneration, is what the Bible calls it. Can you hear me? All right. He created a place for Himself. Now, He desires not only that we have a clean spirit, but that we yield our bodies and our souls over to Him. Paul calls us to consecrate our physical bodies to Him. Look at Romans 12:1 with me real quick and 12:2. We're going to go back and forth to this scripture a few times tonight. I'm going to point out a couple of things. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God." Now listen, leading up to chapter 12, all through Romans, Paul is building to this scripture here. He tells them about how God in His great love has saved us from wrath to come, and how that He had a plan to save us and deliver us from the kingdom of darkness. And he builds up to this verse here, and he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies." a living sacrifice, holy. Now that's H-O-L-Y. There's a difference. How many knows God is holy? It's going to get quiet. Every time we talk about holiness, it gets real quiet. Listen, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're doing some mind renewing, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, both our souls and our spirits are tremendously influenced by our physical bodies. How many believe tonight with me that your body has a voice? Who's ever been watching a commercial of food, some kind of food, and your body gets a craving and it begins to talk to you? Chocolate, ice cream. We in Oklahoma, we used to live just about a mile from a Brahms ice cream. And I don't know that they have them here, but it was kind of like a Baskin Robbins. And they had every kind of ice cream under the sun. And they would flash commercials at strategically at certain times of the evening, knowing that people were watching them, and they'd get this urge. And you'd go down there, and that place would just be full. It was messages sent that triggered things in your body that caused a physical craving in you, if you will. And then you would follow that thing with your body. Now listen, both our souls and our spirits are tremendously influenced by the habits of our physical bodies. Now here's what I mean by that. I'm going to explain that as we go along. We must imagine with our minds that God wants us to be like Him. Say amen if you believe that. And He has provided the means by which we can be like Him. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to try to explain this. One night I preached this years ago, and I struggled through the whole message. The whole congregation struggled through the whole message. And I pray tonight it won't be that way, because this stuff is hard for people to chew on, and it's hard for people to understand. So I'm going to try to make it, get it in the realm where we live so we can understand. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. He says, knowing this, that our old man, we've got to imagine that God has provided a way for us to be holy. Spirit, soul, and body. Look what he says. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. How many knew that? How many knows that? If you don't know that, then you're never going to get the victory. Knowing this, he wants you to know this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 7. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. We've got to imagine in our minds that we are transformed into new creations. This says you need to know this. You need to know that your old man was crucified with who? Who was you crucified with? Christ. In the mind of God, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, you went with him. Hey, pastors, that's borderline heresy. You read it for yourself. But you need to understand what he's saying here. He's saying that in the mind of God, you died with Christ. And you need to come to grips with this in your mind. This is where God already knows it. God knows it, but he wants you to know it. In the mind of God, the old man, who was the old man? The fallen man. Was sent to the cross. Paul said, I died with him, and now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Then he says that we are what? If we died with him, let's read it again. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Here's what I want you to understand, if I can explain this right. And this is where I struggled the last time I tried to present this, because this is foreign to our thinking, that if we died with him, our old man, our sinful nature, if you're ever going to be free from the sinful nature, you've got to reckon, Paul said, reckon the old man dead. That means consider him dead. We've got to understand that when Christ died, he took our sinful nature, which was the old Adamic nature, and he nailed it to the cross. And it died with him. But until we come to the revelation knowledge of that, that's why he says that your mind be renewed, that your life will be transformed. How many believes that God wants people to be transformed? How many believes that God wants Christians to be different? How many believe that God wants Christians to live on a new level of living? No longer to live in the, be bound by the weak and beggarly elements of the world, as the Bible says. He wants us to live on a plane that is higher. And the only way you're ever going to do that is as you come to realization is that, look, I was crucified with Christ. And he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, let me explain what he means by that. He says, you need to begin to see yourself freed from sin because the old man died. And what he means by freed from sin, he means the obligations to sin. Let me explain it this way. In the New Testament, Jesus says when a person is married and the husband or wife dies, the partner is free. In other words, they're no longer bound to the legal contract of marriage. Is that right? That's even valid for today, correct? So, in the new, if we're going to use that analogy, if we died, our old sin nature died, we are now no longer obligated to the sinful nature. Didn't say we wouldn't give in to him. We've got to come to the revelation of the knowledge of the truth, and then we can be free for it. Here's another example of that. When a person dies, if your husband or wife dies, and they have credit card debt, when they die, the credit card debt is forgiven. You're no longer obligated to pay that debt. Wouldn't that be nice? But you got to die to get that kind of freedom. I said you got to die to get that kind of freedom. There's a revelation in that. You got to die to get that kind of freedom. You got to die to get the kind of freedom I'm talking about tonight. You got to understand that Jesus nailed that and you died with him, and now you are free to live free from the bondage of sin. It's the truth. Whether we understand it fully or not, it's the truth. Listen, here's the reason why we need to come to this knowledge. No man or woman, I mean those women need to hear this too, can live in sweet fellowship with the Father while having unclean physical habits in their life. Why? Because sooner or later, bad habits will defile the soul and will bind the spirit. Let me explain to you another way. It causes an estrangement with our fellowship with the Father. In other words, when you're a Christian and you begin to grow up a little bit and you begin to understand that God called us to be holy, and you continually live a life of sin, the fellowship gets broken. It gets estranged. Husband, wives, when they are at odds with one another, and let's say the husband's been really mean to the wife, there's an estrangement there. There is an awkwardness there. There is a broken fellowship there. There is no peace, no love, no bond, no unity there in that family or in that home, because there is something that is in between them. And that's what happens when we don't understand that we cannot no longer, the Bible says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Why? Because it's an estrangement. It's a barrier between you and God. Understand this tonight, church. God does not sin. What we try to do is bring God down to our level. Because we are weak and we We give in to our kids when they whine and cry and carry on. And we give in to their because of our weakness, we give in. But God doesn't stoop. He stooped in the sense that he sent Jesus to bear it so that he could bridge that gap between us. But God does not sin. The Bible says he can't sin. And said there is, he can't even be tempted. Neither does he tempt anybody. Now, if it causes an estrangement between us and God, this is one of the reasons why we cannot allow sin to reign in our body. When you habitually give into the flesh, guess what happens? A war develops between your senses and your spirit, and usually your spirit loses out. God asked for, and it's not too much to ask, go back to Romans 12:1. God asked for this from us. He says, I beg you, that's what beseech you means, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's saying, in light of the mercies of God, I beg you to do this. Present your body a living sacrifice. Say living. God wants us to present our bodies alive to him. A living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they presented dead things to God, but God's looking for living sacrifices. So this is why God is saying to us that we need to recognize that we are no longer obligated to live according to the sinful nature, because the sinful nature, if we can receive this, this is why people stay bound by sin, is because they can't understand that old sin man, if you can reckon him dead, you can see him dying with Jesus, you can see that thing nailed to the cross, then you can see yourself as being free. How many believes tonight that God wants us free? Yes, there's a way to get washed and cleansed, but that's not God's best. Is it? It's best that we never get there, that we never sin. He says God is asking us, in light of his mercies, that we give him a living sacrifice. He asks that we present our bodies, our members, our faculties to him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul says, let me back up, because I want to bring it into context. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. He's talking about spiritual harlotry. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sin against his own body. I don't want to focus on the fornication part. However, you understand that. But look at verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God, where? In your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. God's saying that we must come to the realization that God is more interested than just our spirit. He's interested in our bodies. He's interested in our lives. He's interested in spirit, soul, and body. He's interested in everything that concerns you. And he wants you to understand that he wants you to be free from sin. Jesus didn't just come to give us a place in heaven. He come to set us free. But he wants us to understand that it is up to us. Say up to me. It's up to you whether you glorify God in your body. We got to realize that our bodies belong to God. Our spirits belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15 says, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ, that we are part of him, and that we no longer own ourselves? The blood of Jesus cleanses our sin, our spirits, but we must work on, say that with me, We must work on cleansing our mind from evil thoughts. We must discipline our bodies from bad habits. God's not going to come down and take bad habits away from you unless you allow him to work in your life. Look what it says in Romans 12:1 again, and I'll read it to you. It says, Paul says that what? That we should present our bodies. What does it mean to present? Say that out loud, John. Give. Yes, offer. Give. If I present John with this Bible here, I'm giving it to him. He's saying that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not your spirit, your body. And look what else he says. Holy. Acceptable to God. This word acceptable really means well-pleasing. Unfortunately, in the modern day church, we've kind of got away from preaching about holiness. And the reason is because it's very unpopular and people get very uncomfortable with it because they see themselves as not holy. But I'm telling you that if you can grasp the first part of what I said, reckon yourself dead, then you can turn off the lust of the flesh. You can turn off these things. Let me explain this. The sin problem is in the sense realms. Turn to Romans 6, 12, and 14 real quick. It's in our sense realm. That means where our faculties are in the natural. What did I say? Romans 6, verse 12 through 14. I'm going to read out the Amplified. Look what it says. It says, let not sin rule as king in your mortal bodies. Verse 13, do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments, tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourself to God. How many knows what it means to yield? How many's ever come on a yield sign and you slow down to let the other person go? That's what it means to yield. He's saying, don't offer your body, don't yield your body to sin, yield it to God. How do we do that? How do we not yield? By members, Paul means this, the tongue. How many knows we can sin with our tongue? Men, our eyes. John said something to me earlier last week that I thought was very good for men. Listen to me, men. You need to hear this, men. We don't need to be looking at women as a sex object. God made women beautiful. Say amen, women. He made you beautiful. Thank God he made you something to look at. Amen. But we, as believers now, we are yielding our members to God. We no longer look at women like in the old person, the old nature. Now we've got a new nature. We don't look at women as a sex object. John said this. He said, here's a good way for men to not have that problem. Make eye contact. Say that loud, John. Only. It is inherent in a man. I believe women are left-brainers and men are right-brainers. I think that's right. Or just the opposite. This is science. And men are visual. Women, not so much. But men are visual. I think God made us that way, but he says, yield your members, your faculties. That's your members. Your eyes is part of your faculties. Let me explain something to you. You can't watch TV anymore without seeing half-naked women. My wife the other night, bless her heart, I was not looking at all. Why? Because I don't yield my members to that anymore. Do you notice I said anymore? I'm a man, pinch me. But I've learned a spiritual lesson. My mind doesn't even go there. Because I did what the scripture says, I consider it dead. The only eyes I have for is my wife. And that's holy and acceptable to God. Can't watch TV. I'm sitting here watching TV the other night. I have the remote. We flipped the channel, and it was something we wanted to watch, something like, what's those guys that go out and antique, look for antiques, and what's it? Not Pawn Stars. What's it called? Pickers, American Pickers. Well, in between it coming on, four girls come on, and they're half naked on the commercial, and Donna's standing over against the thing, and I am not even looking at it. You say, well, how'd you know this half naked? Well, I got a glance, but I just turned. I turned, and my wife looked at me and says, are you getting your eyes full? And I looked at her and said, absolutely not. And I was sincere. I did not even see it. Why? Because I don't even think that way anymore. Are you with me? When I see a woman who's beautiful, I give God the glory, but I don't start letting my mind. Jesus says when you let your mind continually go on that, it turns into lust, and that's when it becomes sin. And then your lust, a lustful spirit, is kicked in inside of you. And next thing you know, you're having all kinds of things going in your mind that you should have never allowed to get in there. By members, he means your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your hands. And Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, it was better that your eye be plucked out or your hand cut off, or so that your whole body not be cast into hell. Did Jesus really mean that we should pluck our eyeballs out? No. What he meant was, is if you can't watch TV without that thing drawing you to it, then you need to turn the TV off. And maybe if you can't get on the internet without being drawn to something lustful, then you need to break that thing and get rid of it. That'd be a good place. He's saying that, look, you have to go to extremes if necessary to keep yourself out of these kind of things. And if you can get to the point where you understand that you truly died with Christ and your desires change in as your mind gets renewed, your desires begin to change, then you don't have to struggle with this thing. But until you get to that point, then you have to take drastic measures if necessary. Some people, parents, and especially you that have young kids, if you got a computer in the home, it should be in the open, and it should either have safeguards on it or you never allow them to be on it unsupervised. Because there's all kinds of things that'll just pop up. And it'll draw you into it. So we need to yield our bodies. We need to yield our minds. We need to yield our eyes, our ears. I won't allow guys at work say, can I tell you a joke? I always ask them, is it dirty or clean? You know I'm a pastor. Oh, it's clean. I said, does it have a hint of dirtiness in it? No. I said, then I'll listen. But otherwise, I'm not interested. Hands or feet. Jesus was serious about sin. Do you realize that sin sent God's only Son to the cross? That's how serious it was. The only way God could bridge a gap between man and himself was that someone who was perfect would go and die in our stead. And it was his Son. And if it's that serious with God, so we need to understand that, look, as a Christian, you do not have, say do not have, the liberties that you used to have. You do not have the liberty to watch filthy movies anymore. You do not have the liberty to get on the... Why? Because you're going to break your fellowship with God, and you're going to lose the very thing that's precious to you, and the Satan's going to come in and bind you, and he's going to bring bondage in your life, and you're going to be miserable, and you're going to be cut off from heaven. Who wants that? Not me. I haven't lived 27 years of my life as a Christian to allow the enemy to trap me. Now listen, in our world, there are entrapments everywhere. As an unbeliever, guess what? We acted different. We had evil habits. We sang different songs. We told, we drank. We did other things that we couldn't even repeat as believers now. We had a broken fellowship with God. And I tell you what, I've lived on both sides of the fence. I like having fellowship with God. I like waking up in the morning and hear the birds sing. You say, well, this time of year, they're not singing. They are in my heart. I don't get out to my truck that I can't look up into the heavens in the mornings and say, glory to God, what a beautiful day. I'm not even halfway down my driveway, and I'm feeling the Spirit of the living God begin to well up inside of me in joy. I would never do anything to offend God purposely. When you get that heart, that attitude, you'll walk softly before the Lord. This is where God wants us. This is where God wants us. How many believes God wants us to be like His Son Jesus? He's conforming us into the same image. And it's not okay. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate. It's not okay that we be like the world anymore. God wants all of us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this okay tonight? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Look what he says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now listen, that does not mean that we isolate ourselves from the world. That's not what he's saying at all. What he is saying is that we no longer are going to be like we used to be. Right? He's saying, come out from among the way you used to be. Come out from among those. And it may be that you need to be separate from certain people if they're going to draw you into things that you know is going to mess your fellowship up with God. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. I told you you'd like this tonight. This is food for the thought. 1 John, what did I say? Chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Now look, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not saying we don't love the trees, we don't love the rivers, we don't love the lakes. That's not what he's saying. He's saying all the things that the world are indulging in that are sinful. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I'm going to wrap it up real quick. What's the solution? Our senses are to be ruled by another force. We were slaves to sin, but now we have become love slaves to righteousness. Go back to Romans chapter 6 real quick. And I promise you, I've just got a couple more scriptures. I want to point out a couple of things, and then we'll call it a night. Romans chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so, now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. He said, before you got saved, you were free from being a servant of righteousness. But now he's saying, yield yourself as members, as servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. He's saying, now you are, how many knows what a slave is? He yields to his master's wishes. Come on. Nobody wants to be called slave, do we? Well, I'm my own man. Huh? Oh, God ain't. I've had people tell me, God ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, he might not, but, you know, when you're in the lake of fire, you'll say, oh, I wished I would have listened. But listen, he says, yield yourself as a love slave to righteousness. It's possible, and I'm going to finish with this scripture, through God's help. Now listen, I know this makes it sound like we got to do it all, but it doesn't. God never asks you to do anything that he doesn't empower you to do, and he doesn't give you the ability to do it. Turn to St. John chapter 1. God called us out of the world system to himself for his own purpose. And he says, he has not called us to uncleanness, but sanctification. He wants us to be totally set apart unto him. The Greek word for holiness and sanctification come from the same root, meaning separate or set apart. We cannot be what he wants us to be without totally depending upon him. Look at verse 12 of St. John, chapter 1. He said, but as many as received him, how many has received him tonight? By the way, that's past tense. That means we've received him. He's our Lord. To them, who? The ones that received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What does that word power mean? It means several things. It means, in the Greek, it means the right to become the sons of God, the privilege to become the sons of God, the ability to become the sons of God, and the authority to become the sons of God. We now, if we can come to the realization, say, I am now a son of God or daughter of God. Not going to be. If you can come to the realization, you say, Pastor, I can't be free from sin. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got to desire it. But he's given you the ability. He's given you the ability to be free from sin. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was to free us from the things that bind us. Listen to me carefully tonight before I close. Sin has rewards. Holiness has rewards. Sin cost us more than we can afford to pay. I've been there. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay because it brings you into bondage. The reason Jesus came was to set us free from the things that are destroying us. Sin is destructive. It's deceptive. It's destructive. And God wants us free. How many wants to be free? How many believes that whom the Son sets free is free indeed? We are free. Come on up, Adam. We are free from sin. Truly free from sin. We have to apply a few things in our life in order to see it. First, we got to recognize that in the mind of God, our old man has been nailed to Christ's cross. You're fired again, Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you tonight for the word. I thank you, God, for revealing to our spirit man, our natural mind, God, that you want a people that's holy and acceptable. And that you are desiring, God, that we be a people that's a light that's set on a hill, that is set apart for good works, Lord. Set apart to live holy, acceptable in your sight. To have sweet, loving fellowship with you on a continual basis. Never to be broken. Father, I pray tonight that we get a revelation, Lord, that we're free from sin. And that if we choose to walk free from it, the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help us be free. I pray, God, that we put to death those sinful tendencies in our lives, God, that cause us to be bound and break fellowship with you. I pray tonight if anyone's here and they're bound by sinful tendencies, God, that you reveal to them by your Spirit that there's freedom in Christ and that you've called the church unto holiness. You've called the church to be a light that's set upon a hill that we could shine brightly for the Lord. I pray tonight, God, that you do a work in each and every heart here tonight, God. God, you do a transforming work in our lives. Change us into the image of Christ. Help us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Help us to see sin as for what it really is. And help us to be slaves unto righteousness. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Before we dismiss tonight, does anybody have a prayer request you need prayer for? Everybody look at me. Smile at me. God loves you. And he wants to set us free from the things that are hurting us and hurting others. Sin not only hurts us, it hurts others. That's why he wants us free. Stand to your feet with me. Billy is having surgery tomorrow. All right. Amen. You have, yes, sir. All right. Let's pray for Billy. Then I want everybody to stretch your hands towards JR. I mean, we're living in a difficult time. The economy is just stagnant. I mean, it's just not doing anything. But God has resources. Let's pray for Billy. Father, I pray that you guide that surgeon's hand tomorrow, God. That God, the very work that needs to be done on his back, God, that this surgeon will perform it without any flaws. And that Billy will have a miraculous recovery, God. We pray, God, that he'll have full use of his back again in Christ's name. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for a miraculous recovery. And we cover him with your precious blood and your anointing, Lord. Lord, I pray, everybody set your hand toward JR. I pray for JR, God. I pray, God, that you attract business to him in the areas of his expertise, God. You know the areas that he's skilled in and that you have anointed him in. And I pray, God, that you would open doors of opportunity for him. And God, rain out blessings upon him. Use him for your glory. Help him, God. Help his family. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Bring financial breakthrough in his life. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Yes. Father, we just pray for Wyatt. God, you've done hundreds of miracles for him thus far. And we pray, God, that you continue to do the work. Touch his eyes, touch his legs, touch his body. Make him every whit whole in Christ's name. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Shake somebody's hand as you go tonight.